Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And I would like to begin the broadcast by reading a portion from the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter. It seems the Lord has been dealing with me a great deal lately on the importance of faith. Without faith, we know the scriptures tell us it's impossible to please God, and God wants those of us who know Him to be strong and to do exploits. Let's read what the Word has to say in Joshua, the 14th chapter, and this is regarding Caleb. He, in verse 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." If you recall, they were the only two spies that gave a good report. He goes on to say, I'm just going to share just bits and pieces to give the storyline. 40 years old he was when the Lord had him spy out the land. But he said, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He said, you know, we're well able to take the land. But his brethren, those that went up with them, made the heart of the people to melt. And then Moses swore on that day, the place where your feet have trodden, that will be your inheritance. And going back to conversation with Joshua, he says, verse 10, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." 85. Well, "and yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." And so that, and he did. He was given the mountain, and he inherited it. It was known as the as Hebron, the inheritance of Caleb. And so we see that it was faith that caused a fruitful and successful ending to Caleb's life. He pursued God. It wasn't easy in the wilderness, nor for Joshua, but they prevailed, and they stood in faith, knowing that what God had promised, He was also able to accomplish. And it's God's desire that we zealously pursue the knowledge of His will for our lives, and that we practice what the Word of God says. We put into action what our faith believes. And as we look back to Israel in the Old Testament, we see that it is a perfect picture of, if you will, of God working in our lives to bring us into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in Ephesians. That's why fivefold ministry is given, until we all come into the unity of the faith and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, looking back, we're just taking an overview. God set a goal for Israel to reach, right? He was fulfilling His word that He promised to Abraham 400 years before. God delivered Israel out of Egypt and designed her ultimate settlement in Canaan, the promised land. And it was in the promised land that Israel was to receive her inheritance and find her rest. That is God's desire for us, that we should enter into His rest. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 11 says, "Let us labor." We have to put some effort to it, to walk in faith, right? Therefore, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Of course, referring to the Israelites who never did enter the promised land because they said there's no way they could take that land. And as we view Israel's deliverance, her wanderings, and finally her entrance into the promised land where they settled, there's a parallel, if you will, or a corresponding work in our salvation. We have an inheritance also that has been reserved for us, as well as rest. And it is both temporal as well as eternal. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus speaks to us, and this is pertaining to our present lives. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And then in the 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 21 through 23, Paul says, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours." We have a abundant inheritance, a rich inheritance. God loves us so much. All that he planned for man in the very beginning is going to be restored in perfect fellowship in a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. And then, of course, that was referring to our temporal condition, but eternally, the word of the Lord says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Praise God. And also in verses of that same chapter, 27 through 28, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose." And as we see the natural world in verses 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together unto now. And not they only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," to it, the redemption of our body. Praise God. And then a final scripture I'll share with you found in Titus, and that is the 3rd chapter, verse 7, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So just as a pattern was set with ancient Israel, so that's God's plan for us. When we're in Egypt, we're in the world, we're in bondage, and God takes us when we get born again. Well, then that another phase in our lives. Actually, the promised land represents the objective, if you will, of our salvation. Now, it's not totally accurate because they had giants to conquer. For us, it is our final restoration, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that promised land, if you will, represents our salvation in three things taking place in our lives. There's three experiences, if you will. First of all, we have to get out of Egypt, whatever that has meant to us. And when we are not saved, when we are not born again, regardless of how pleasant our life is, it is a form of bondage. The intellectuals, those that have the money of this world, those that are committed atheists, agnostics, they think they have no need of God. They think they are in control of their life, but beloved, they are not. They are in bondage to Satan. They don't realize it. They may not even certainly acknowledge it, but they are the pawn of the evil one because he controls their lives in ways that will not bring a good end to them, unless they repent and turn to the Lord. And then, so there's getting out of Egypt, and then there's passing through the wilderness. And this is where the enemy fights Christians very hard. We all go through a time of growth, and our faith is challenged, just as it was for the children of Israel. What are we going to eat? We don't have anything to eat. We don't have water. And so their faith, even though they had seen all the miracles of God in Egypt, we have that ability to make a choice. We can be at a crossroads. Are we going to choose the path of faith or the path of doubt and unbelief? And sometimes the enemy fights even harder when you leave Egypt. That's when the battle starts. You're dealing with sin. And when you started following the Lord Jesus, that's when the testing really starts. So while we were in Egypt, and I'm making generalities now, we were ruled by Satan, we were interested in self, we were ignorant and spiritually dead. In the wilderness, well, that's a carnal state, if you will. We're ruled by self. We're being trained in godliness. We're being trained to see that God will supply. We're becoming informed. We're spiritually alive. They were set free from the bondage of Egypt, but our condition is that of a carnal man. But as we enter into the promised land, and that promised land really are the promises of God for New Testament believers, we are ruled by Christ. We are zealous and active in fulfilling God's will for our lives and the expressed will as expressed in the scriptures. We are transformed, hallelujah, by the renewing of our mind, and we are spiritually alive and a spiritual man. We are living in the Spirit, and we are walking in the Spirit. This is the high calling God has for us, beloved, and so let us labor to enter into that rest of faith, of trusting God, and knowing that He will give us the ability to overcome all the works of the flesh, and we can walk in the Spirit and live in the fruit of the Spirit, manifesting the very character of Christ. Well, I thank you for joining me. My time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information, and should you choose to email, I will pray for you, confirm receipt, but if you'd like a personal response or answer by mail, share your mailing address, and I will send you what will be a blessing to your heart by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you for joining me. I thank you for your prayers. I pray for you every day. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.